is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel great. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And I don't know about you, but I am so tired of gloomy, depressed Christians who are looking around at economic problems, who are looking around at the possibility of a President Barack Obama, who are looking around at all kinds of things going on that are really, really, really worrisome and problematic. But we're the last people who ought to be wringing our hands, aren't we? Aren't we the last people who ought to be depressed? What I want to know from you is, how do you think that Christians ought to be thinking about the future? Should we be optimistic right now, or should we be pessimistic right now? You know, there's a stream in Scripture in which the people of God are called to lament, the people of God are called to cry, but there's also a warning in Scripture that we ought to be the ones who are hopeful. How should we think about reading the world around us without being naively giddy, but at the same time, without being gloomy? How can we see the blessing of God even in the midst of some things that look providentially very, very troubling? There's a bad moon rising, as Creedence Clearwater Revival might say. But that's not the end of the story. There are other things going on that maybe are a little less visible. So how do we communicate the seriousness and the gravity of some of the awful stuff that's going on, while at the same time remaining happy warriors as the people who are hopeful and optimistic? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know how you are viewing things as a Christian. How do you maintain hope in God's blessing and in God's purpose, even when things look really, really difficult out there in the world around us, especially when it comes to life in America? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do we as Christians balance concern with hope and lament with joy? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on the road today. I am sitting in Albert Mohler's chair looking at a pile of highlighters and reading glasses. I am not kidding you. There are enough reading glasses and highlighters here to last me for the next 30 years. But I'm just here for a week. I look forward to being with you the rest of the week and talking about the issues that matter. I want you to join the conversation today as we talk about, does God need America, and how should we think about what God maybe is doing with America? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, in the news, went last night to see the movie W, Oliver Stone's movie W. I went there for you. Didn't go there for me. I went there for you because I wanted to be able to talk about it this week and thought maybe somebody would call in about it. Let me just go ahead and save you the time of going to see the movie. If you have seen an Oliver Stone movie, then you have seen W, just with a different cast of characters. As a matter of fact, if you have seen Daryl Hammond playing George W. Bush on Saturday Night Live, then you have seen the movie W. And whatever you think about President Bush, whatever you think about George W. Bush, this was such a ridiculous movie, because I was just telling one of my interns a few moments before the radio program began, it was kind of like one of these Saturday morning cartoon programs that I used to watch every Saturday, in which you have the villains standing around and discussing what they're going to do, or like one of the old evangelical rapture movies, you know, where everybody's trying to pack all of their theology into the dialogue. Well, as you know, the 10 nations of the European common market are the fulfillment of it was that kind of a thing. Literally, you have people standing around and saying things like, and then we will get the oil in the Middle East, and then we will have a genuine American empire. It was cartoonish. I mean, seriously, don't we have a little more nuance, whatever you think about how the Bush administration has gone? And we've got the poll numbers to know what most people think right now about how the Bush administration has gone. But isn't there a place for a little more nuance than this? It was really cartoonish and disappointing. Don't waste your funds going to the movie. There are a lot of better uses you can put for that movie. Also in the news yesterday, General Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, has endorsed a candidate for president, and it is not John McCain. This is what General Powell had to say.
We've got two individuals. Either one of them could be a good president. But which is the president that we need now? Which is the individual that serves the needs of the nation for the next period of time? And I come to the conclusion that because of his ability to inspire, because of the inclusive nature of his campaign, because he is reaching out all across America, because of who he is and his rhetorical abilities, and we have to take that into account, as well as his substance. He has both style and substance. He has met the standard of being a successful president, being an exceptional president. I think he is a transformational figure. He is a new generation coming into the world, onto the world stage, onto the American stage. And for that reason, I'll be voting for Senator Barack Obama.
That has already caused shockwaves, really, across the political spectrum, as people are wondering, what does this do for the Obama campaign to have someone with the kind of credibility of General Powell adding to some foreign policy heft? Also, when you have, the month of September with Senator Obama raising $150 million, this is really a remarkable development. At the same time, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin made her debut on NBC's Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. She appeared in two sketches. Here she is.
To take any of your questions, but I do want to take this opportunity to say, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
I don't know about you. I wish she hadn't done it, or at least that she hadn't done it in this way. The opening sketch, I think, was pretty funny. I think she appeared to be very likable and in the way that many people know her to be. The sketch with the rap, I don't know if you saw that on YouTube or something later on, I think was a little bit beneath the dignity of the office, but at least she did not rap the lyrics. That would have been even more so. Remains to be seen whether or not that will have absolutely any effect at all on the election. I mean, remember, John McCain appeared on Saturday Night Live several years ago actually singing Barbara Streisand songs in order to make the point that she had been trying to do his job for the past 30 years, and now he was going to try to do hers. You can probably find that on YouTube still as well. Presidential election is coming up very, very soon. People are very nervous about two wars, about an economy that seems very, very shaky. I am hearing people say things that I never would have imagined I would hear people say. I'm hearing a lot of Christians saying things I would have never imagined hearing Christians say. You have a lot of Christians who are deeply, deeply, deeply worried. And worried for some good reasons. I mean, I serve as a pastor in a church on the weekends, and while I'm there, I'm talking to people after the service. You've got people who are worried about losing their jobs. You've got people who are worried about economic problems and things that ought to concern all of us as the people of God. As we look around at one another and we're concerned about one another. We're concerned about what's going to happen. But then I go out around the country too, and I hear people saying, you know, when you see what's happening, does this mean that God is judging America? What I want to ask you is, what if God is judging America? Well, what then? Well, how then should we respond as the church? How can we in our churches have a kind of hopeful joy even if we are living in a culture that shifts in a way that is really problematic, even if we are living in an economy that suffers to a great degree? How can we as churches How can we understand a situation without becoming gloomy and pessimistic, hand-wringing? How can we be the people who are still joyful? What about you? How are you talking to the people in your community about how to maintain hope even when things look really precarious right now? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are you worried about the future? And if so, what are you doing about it? What are you doing to reassure yourself and the people around you of the goodness of God? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm in a pretty good mood right now, and maybe I'm crazy. You can let me know. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656. We keep on waiting, waiting on the world to change. It's not that we don't care, we just know that the body's fair. So we keep on waiting, waiting.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, waiting on the world to change. There are a lot of people who believe the winds of change are on their way in America, that there is about to be a huge cultural and political and perhaps economic shift. My question to you is, well, what difference will it make? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And I want to know from you, how should the church respond if everything goes the other direction from the way you think it ought to go? When you think about our political, cultural, economic climate, what if, imagine in your mind right now the worst case scenario, and if that happens, how should the churches in America respond to that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we be preparing our people if the worst case scenario, whatever you believe that is, comes about? Do you think our churches are ready for it? Do you think our churches are ready for hard economic times, for difficult political times, for straining cultural times? Are we ready for that, or have we grown so fat and comfortable in American society as we've always known it that we don't have any other way to respond except as those who have an entitlement to blessing? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, we have on the line one of my favorite authors in the entire world. Everything that he writes, I buy, and everything that I buy that is by this author, I start reading immediately. I mean, the night that I buy it, I really think he is one of the most perceptive thinkers and one of the most gifted writers in the world today. And it is Philip Jenkins, who is the Edwin Earl Sparks Professor of Humanities at Penn State University. And he has written many books, a book on called Dream Catchers about spirituality that's really, really fascinating. He's also written, though, a three-volume, essentially a trilogy of books about the global South. Lost History of Christianity, God's Continent, Christianity, Islam, and Europe's Religion Crisis, and a book called, my favorite, The New Faces of Christianity, Believing the Bible in the Global South. And one of the reasons why I really want Professor Jenkins on the program today is because he, more than anyone else I know, has really highlighted the fact that God is doing something unique in places of the world that we might ordinarily just look past and that we might ordinarily not even pay attention to at all. And it is going to, he argues, these new vital areas of Christianity might change the way Christianity looks in the future. Professor Jenkins, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your kind words.
When I'm reading your book called The New Faces of Christianity, you're talking about kind of a new fundamentalist modernist controversy going on in the world. You entitle one of your chapters, Shall the Fundamentalists Win? What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that in the last 50 years, Christianity has grown spectacularly in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, and the kinds of Christianity that have grown have had attitudes to the Bible which take it very seriously, very literally, precisely because what the Bible describes is what people see around them, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that includes many Old Testament ideas that are very strange to American Christians. So Christians in Africa, for example, naturally live in that kind of world. In a sense, in large parts of Africa or Asia, there isn't so much a fundamentalist modernist controversy because it's very hard to get a modernist argument going.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that the Bible is something to be taken absolutely seriously, because, as I say, it describes the modern world. It's almost as if every page should end with the words, film at 11. This is our current reality.
Mm. Now, you mention in this book about how some things that Western Christians tend to read right over in the text, parables of Jesus, for instance, that people in the Global South are able to actually read with a better understanding of what the text actually means.
Sure, because if you live in a town in, for example, Central America, it describes the world that you know. You know that when you go to the market, you're likely to pass somebody who has somebody with a familiar spirit. You believe in ideas of exorcism. You believe in ideas of spirits. You know that kind of very, very poor world, and that is so much more true in Africa, where a New Testament vision is so fundamental. You know, there's a scholar called Andrew Walls, and what he said is, if you want to see the Christianity of the second century, you have two choices. You can build a time machine, or you can travel to modern Africa, and traveling to Africa is cheaper.
Mm, that's exactly right. It's interesting that you mentioned the idea of spiritual warfare. I think most Christians in churches in the West, when they hear the word spiritual warfare, they think of it in terms of an angel on my shoulder and a devil on my other shoulder trying to tempt me. And yet people in the Global South are seeing spiritual warfare in a much broader picture.
They certainly are. In the West, for instance, we draw a division between deliverance, spiritual warfare, and liberation theology. And liberation is on the far left, and deliverance is associated with the very conservative people.
Mm-hmm.
In the Global South, the two are two sides of the same coin. Resisting the forces of tyranny is the other side to casting out demons and evil spirits. Any kind of healing which does not take account of the body as well as the soul, as well as the mind, is partial and is a deformed or lacking kind of Christianity. So there's a very holistic kind of vision. People are very happy to accept medical aid, for example. They don't reject that, but it has to be in a spiritual context. So it's a very different kind of Christianity from what most Americans are used to.
You also mention in the book about the idea of poverty. When you have the scripture speaking so much about the poor, you have people in the Global South who are able to experience poverty more like people in the first and second centuries would have experienced the meaning of poor. Blessed are the poor.
Right, and it's only when you realize that, and when you read things with hungry eyes, can you realize how much of the Bible is about food? How many of the images, the stories that you're offered there, are about food? That the symbol of the kingdom is God's banquet to which the chosen are invited. You know, for most Westerners, food is not an issue, except for we sometimes hear about things like an obesity epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa, food is a real issue. Something like the Book of Ruth, which is all about a society destroyed by famine, you know, clearly that's almost like a documentary relevance. People read it as if it's describing their world. And that also means then that they take the moral, the religious messages that they're offered in the
book.
Let's
hang right there, Professor Jenkins. We'll come right back after the break. In the meantime, I want to hear from you. How can we get ready for tough times in America? 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. This is the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what Jesus said. But, you know, I'm hearing from a lot of Christians all of the time these days who act as though Barack Obama can prevail against it, or an economic crisis can prevail against it, or a culture that is moving in darkness can prevail against it. We ought to be concerned about all kinds of things going on, but we ought to also be attuned to the blessing of God right now in the world. And I wonder if we are really seeing that. My question for you is, do you think that American Christians have been spoiled by blessing? Do you think that we have been so protected with prosperity and a lack of persecution for so long that we almost believe this is normal and that we're entitled to it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are we spoiled by blessing? And if so, how do we prepare another generation to face a world that maybe doesn't have the kind of peace and prosperity that we've had so far as Christians? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And we're talking today about a question that I'm hearing all over the place. Is God judging America? Is God about to judge America? And I think that's an important question. But I think another question that maybe is even more important is to ask, where is God blessing? Where is God working? And I think God is doing a lot of things all around the world in some ways that if we see them, we ought to be very grateful. We have Professor Philip Jenkins on the line, who is the author of, among many other things, The New Faces of Christianity, Believing the Bible in the Global South. And Professor Jenkins, before we went to the break, you were talking about the way in which Christians in Africa and Asia and Central America and Latin and South America
right.
are able to understand something about this dependence upon God for food. How does that differ with Christians in the West?
Well, like I say, we take food very much for granted. It's not something which is in the news. But for Global South Christians, ideas of famine, ideas of natural disaster are very, very common, and that creates much more of a sense of reliance on God as individuals, but also as societies. And it's interesting that Global South Christians recognize that states and nations may come and go, but that the church, it's the church that goes on forever. You know, it's interesting, one of the best-known scriptures is the 23rd Psalm, and many people in the Global South use that as a political scripture. They say, the Lord is my shepherd, and they say that to states who claim to be their shepherds, and what they say is, the Lord is my shepherd, you aren't.
That is a very good point. What do you think? Do you think that we as American Christians have become too spoiled by blessing, too accustomed to it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Professor Jenkins, I'm also very interested. You talk in this book, The New Faces of Christianity, about persecution. Typically, when persecution is talked about in American churches, it's talked about in the context of being being disregarded in your workplace or being marginalized in your family. How are Christians in the Global South right now seeing and understanding persecution more biblically?
Boy, It's one of those where I don't know where to start, but if you look at the countries around the world that are the greatest growth centers of Christianity, you're talking really serious, large-scale violence and persecution. I'll just give you one example. Nigeria, for example, will be one of the great Christian countries in years to come. There's one province there called Plateau Province. Between 2001 and 2006, something like 50,000 people were killed or expelled from their homes in interreligious rioting, Christians versus Muslims. That's a huge number. If you look at India, if you look at Indonesia, the Sudan, you know, we live in one of the great ages of persecution. So, well, I'm not trying to minimize what American or European Christians suffer. It's just on an absolutely different scale. When they read the Bible, they notice that Jesus says, when you are called into a court to be tried for your judgment, for your faith, not if.
Very good. Thank you very much, Professor Philip Jenkins, author of The New Faces of Christianity. And I think Professor Jenkins has reminded us God is blessing in the world. I want to ask you, do you think that we as American Christians have been too spoiled by prosperity and by peace? Could it be that maybe God is doing something to give us a more biblical worldview? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Are we spoiled by prosperity? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
The best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good?
Yep, that's Merle Haggard, which means this is not Albert Mohler. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and we are talking today about just that question, are the good times over? Is, as so many people are asking, you know, you look at these hard economic times, you look at the way that these hard economic times are affecting churches, you look at the prospect of a President Obama, the most pro-abortion rights president, if he is elected, in the history of the American Republic. You look at all kinds of really dark signals out there, things that are happening in the world and in the culture, and so often you see so many Christians who are saying, well, does this mean that God is judging America? My question is, what if it is? What if that is exactly what's happening? I'm not saying it is. I don't know that it is. But are we ready to go through a time that's difficult? Are you ready? Do you think your church is? Or do you think that we as American Christians have become so spoiled by an illusion of peace and of prosperity and of a lack of suffering and of persecution that we wouldn't even know how to follow Christ in a world that is maybe exactly what's being faced by our brothers and sisters in Christ in other places in the world? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-8255. Let me know what you think. We've got Lisa on the line, who is listening in Rochester, New York on XM Radio. Lisa, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I have to say I believe that American Christians are spoiled, but ultimately what we're going through is for our good.
How so? What do you think that God could be doing?
We're going to have to come to a place where we're able to take a stand and really know what we believe, really know who we are and what we stand for and whose we are. I don't know that we can in the environment that we have right now where there's so many opportunities to be marginalized.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Lisa, what do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that the people that you know who are Christians, do you think that we've kind of been lulled into seeing ourselves as just living out normal life in America? And do you think that maybe what God could be doing is shaking up the church? I mean, when you think about what Professor Jenkins was talking about a few moments ago, that when you look at the real vitality in Christianity right now, it's not in Birmingham and Nashville and Rochester, New York. The real vitality right now in Christianity is going on in places like Nigeria and Indonesia and Central America. Could it be that we are so gloomy right now because we're so focused upon ourselves that we're not able to catch what God is doing in the world? And maybe God is actually trying to catch the church in America up with what he's doing right now with the church in Nigeria and the church in Pakistan and the persecuted church in China. And if so, how would we get our people ready for that? How would you get the people in your congregations ready for a world in which there is no Bible Belt in the United States of America? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What would it do to the people in our churches if suffering and if marginalization, if bearing the reproach of Christ is not just something that we read in the Bible, but it's something that we experience? And I think this is where Professor Jenkins is onto something. We tend to read the scripture through the kind of world that we're accustomed to seeing. And I think that so many of us, when we read suffering, you will suffer, Jesus says. You will be handed over to the courts, Jesus says. I think we think that Jesus is speaking in some type of a metaphor. And so we think the extent of suffering is the fact that I'm not allowed to witness at my work, or that I'm mistreated by my parents who don't understand Christianity, or that my unbelieving guy in the carpool says some things to me that are nasty about Christianity. I mean, all those things, that's true. That is genuine suffering. I'm not making light of that. But as the writer of Hebrews says, you have not yet suffered to the shedding of blood. Maybe our churches are so gloomy right now just because we're accustomed to being safe. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. How would you change that? How can we start getting over being spoiled by blessing? 877-893-8255. And what do you think that God would have to do to really bring revival to our churches? And I mean the kind of revival that we see breaking out in places like Nigeria, in places like the Global South, in which people are standing and waiting to hear the Word of God for hours. That's not going on right now in most places in the United States of America, in which people, when they are reading the Scriptures, they are seeing something true about the world, about this cosmic warfare that's going on all around them. Maybe God is blessing in some really extraordinary ways. We just don't see it because we've forgotten what blessing is. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How would you suggest that pastors and church leaders prepare people in our churches for a different kind of world? Maybe for a world in which there's some genuine economic hardship. Maybe a world in which there are political leaders hostile to Christianity. Maybe a world in which it's not just that Christians are being made fun of by Hollywood, but a world in which Christians are kind of passed over for employment. That could happen. It's happening right now in all kinds of places in the world. And you know what? The church isn't dying in those places. In the very places where people are being dragged out of their homes for saying Jesus is Lord and being beaten for it, people are getting saved. The gospel is marching forward. The Holy Spirit is working and alive. What would need to happen for that to happen in Birmingham and Seattle and Toledo? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Don't be gloomy. I will build my church, Jesus says. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I think that those lyrics are profoundly biblical. It is even worse than it appears, but it's all right. I think that the problem with so many people in our congregation, so many of us, and I'm including myself in this, is that the problem is we don't really see just how bad the situation is. It's worse than an economic crisis. It's worse than a political crisis. It's worse than a cultural crisis. It is, as the scripture says, a world, a universe that is captured by a snake. And that involves all of us. We ought to actually have a greater sense of tragedy than we do. We look at all these individual little events that are taking place, and we tend to have despair when we see those things. But we ought to have a greater sense of moaning and groaning within ourselves as we long for people who are held captive, as Paul says. We admonish them with kindness and with gentleness because we know that they are taken captive by a great captor just as we were. We ought to see that. It's worse than what we think, but it's all right. The scripture teaches us that even in the midst of all of that, even when things seem far more hopeless than they do right now, and in the history of the church, things have looked far worse than they look right now in all kinds of ways. And yet, even in the darkest of those times, the Holy Spirit does something remarkable. Right now, we have believers in China who are being beaten, who are being imprisoned, who are being jailed, and the Holy Spirit is creating a church there. And in places where Muslim terrorists are attacking Christian congregations, churches are still being built. And in the United States of America, where so many of our congregations are kind of lulled to sleep with materialism and consumerism and worldliness and carnality, the Holy Spirit is still at work. People are still hearing the gospel. People are still being saved. And maybe, what God is calling American Christians to do right now, it's not to be giddy and to be naive as though nothing problematic is going on. Not to have naivete, but to have hope and to say, God, wherever you are leading us and whatever you're doing, show us how to be the church. That's good news. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler program, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk about the issues that matter. Jesus isn't dead anymore. And that's good news.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.